As Governor Tony Evers signed the state budget this week, he made changes to where some state funds will go. We'll dive into where Wisconsinites will see some of those shifts. It's Friday, July 7th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Republicans will not release funding to the UW system unless campuses eliminate diversity programs. And some Wisconsin meat producers have mixed feelings about proving cattle are raised without antibiotics to federal officials. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said on Thursday that Republicans will not release $32 million in UW system funding unless campuses eliminate diversity programs. Rich Kramer has more.
GOP lawmakers tried to cut 188 UW diversity, equity, and inclusion staff in the state budget. They also withheld $32 million until the UW system offers a plan to use the money for workforce development. While talking with conservative radio host Jay Weber, Voss said Republicans will withhold the money unless DEI goes.
Now, good news for us is we defunded those positions. And let me tell you, Jay, we are not giving the UW that money unless they work with us to eliminate all this racial preferences.
UW System President Jay Rothman has already eliminated required DEI statements for job applicants. He says cutting universities amid a record budget surplus is, quote, inconceivable. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers used his broad veto powers to extend public schools' ability to increase revenue for the next four centuries. Under the Republican budget, schools could have increased per-student revenue $325 per year over the next 2 years. Evers, a former superintendent, says he wanted school districts to have stability into the future, so he changed that plan by 400 years, extending it to 2425. Dan Rossmiller heads the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. He says the revenue limit change does provide more stability, but it won't last forever.
This will add an element of predictability to school funding. There's an old saying that one legislature cannot bind a succeeding legislature.
School districts are primarily funded from a combination of state money and local property taxes. Revenue limit increases will come from one of those two sources. Governor Evers also used his veto powers to cut funding for Milwaukee's Tourism Bureau. Evan Casey explains the money was aimed at programming for the 2024 Republican National Convention.
The Republican-controlled Finance Committee planned to funnel $10 million to visit Milwaukee for the convention, but Evers used a partial veto to cut $9 million for the Bureau, leaving them with $1 million in the state budget. In his veto message, the governor said he made the cut because lawmakers have, quote, failed to adequately fund so many important priorities for our state, from childcare to higher education. The $9 million will now go to the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. The Republican convention is expected to bring 50,000 visitors to Milwaukee. It's not clear how much money the convention's host committee has raised for the event so far. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Evers also vetoed a Republican-backed provision that sought to block Medicaid coverage of certain types of transgender health care. Lawmakers approved a budget which included language barring reimbursement of gender reassignment surgery as well as puberty blockers used to treat gender dysphoria. Tessa Price is a transgender woman who uses Medicaid coverage. She's also an organizer with Trans Advocacy Madison, and she praised the governor's action.
He's sending a message that trans people are included, that LGBTQ people don't have to get their health care taken away, and that using us for political points is wrong.
In all, the Democratic governor vetoed about 50 sections of the GOP budget. Republicans have the supermajority needed for an override in the Senate, but not in the state assembly. The budget also includes $3.6 million in aid for northern Wisconsin counties who lost revenue after a court ruling last summer. Danielle Kading reports that decision meant the state could no longer tax tribal properties on some reservations.
The ruling was a win for tribal sovereignty, but meant millions in lost tax revenue for five northern Wisconsin counties. It also meant removing tribal members from the tax rolls. That more than doubled taxes for remaining residents in the Ashland County town of Sanborn. Democratic Governor Tony Evers approved aid payments, but he also eliminated GOP restrictions on the funds and the town. Those included limits on Sanborn's ability to raise taxes and charge others for tax refunds it owes to tribal residents. Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn says he fears the changes could cost people their homes.
He's really made a mess of this, unfortunately.
Evers said limiting local control would hamper the town's ability to address its financial situation. Quinn says lawmakers will pursue a bill that includes what Evers removed. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Federal agriculture officials recently announced that they're considering stricter requirements for farms to prove cattle are raised without antibiotics. The move is a response to studies that have found some cattle have drugs in their system despite a no antibiotics label. But some Wisconsin farmers worry the efforts could actually hurt them. Rod Ofte heads the Wisconsin Grass-Fed Beef Cooperative, which sells meat with a no-antibiotics claim. Ofte says he would like to see more verification from federal regulators, including for the 100% grass-fed beef label, which his products also carry.
The issue here is not antibiotics. The issue is transparency.
But Ofte worries about increased attention on enforcement, creating bigger regulatory hurdles for small farmers like those in his co-op. He says it would be better if the agency focused their efforts on the largest farms, which he says are more likely to use antibiotics in their herds. Coming up, a woman wanted to get better at speaking in Hmong, so she made an app to help her practice. We'll hear about how it's helping the next generation of Hmong speakers. Stay with us.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on WPR to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language. This essential service that you count on relies on your support. It's the largest source of our funding. If you've never given before, make a contribution now of, say, $10 a month at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Producer Mary Kate McCoy brings us a story about an app that helps users practice the Hmong language.
In the late 2000s, Apple popularized the phrase, "There's an app for that," highlighting the abundance of apps available for the iPhone. But when Annie Vang of Madison got into app development around the same time, she didn't see programs made in the Hmong language. Producer Hope Kerwin has more on the app she built and the way it's keeping native speakers and beginners connected to the language.
Eau Claire resident Tiffany Moa grew up speaking Hmong with her family, but as she got older, she started to lose some of her vocabulary and found herself struggling to remember words she didn't use frequently.
You know, you go to school, you speak English only. I didn't have any classes where they taught you in Hmong, so my Hmong language wasn't utilized as much as I had wanted to.
Moa was scrolling through Facebook one day when she saw a post about an iPhone app called Hmong Phrases. The app allows users to look up words and common phrases and hear an audio recording of how they're pronounced. Moa says she immediately downloaded it, hoping to test out her memory and her grammar.
When you grow up and you don't really speak fluent Hmong, you kind of create your own little sentences and you just formulate your own way of saying things, and it's not always correct. One that I do remember looking for was, "Can I pay for this?" Even now, like if I were to go shopping at like an Oriental store, I wouldn't know how to formulate this sentence properly.
The Hmong Phrases app was created by fellow Wisconsinite Annie Vang, who it turns out is also Moa's aunt. Vang is an iOS app developer from Madison, and she built the program 11 years ago after taking an app development course at Madison Area Technical College. Vang says she was inspired by advice from her professor, who encouraged her to build something she was passionate about.
Google Translate didn't exist at that time. And the Hmong language definitely was not in Rosetta Stone or any of the other language apps that were out there in the App Store. And so I took it upon myself that, you know, I want people to know who we are, who I am. And I felt that it was important to just, you know, have a presence in the App Store and leave a digital footprint of it.
11 years, constant updates, and one major rewrite later, the app now has over 4,000 downloads. Fang says she's always looking for ways to improve the program, taking feedback directly from users and from her parents, who are her primary beta testers. She says there have been some surprising requests from users about what they'd like to see added. She's been asked for more medical terms and Hmong names from people hoping to use them for babies.
They're interested in, like, how do you say a baby name? What does it mean? How do you pronounce it? And I thought it was kind of cool. So that's a feature that I'm currently building it right now, because we're such an oral language that if you just read the word, the name, you may not know how to pronounce it.
Beyond learning words and phrases, Fang says the app also allows native Hmong speakers to practice their intonation, an important part of the mostly oral language. She says young Hmong Americans often speak Hmong stiffly or struggle to hit the right tonal marks.
I can hear that a lot in, like, the kids that are growing up that are not speaking it, like, fluently with me being an elder. Even my nieces and nephews do the same thing, where when they say they're hungry, they're saying it, like, it doesn't have the right tone markers. And so you can understand what they're saying, but they may not know that they're saying it more English than Hmong.
This is something that niece and app user Moa says she appreciates about the program. Growing up, Moa says she spoke both English and Hmong to her parents, or sometimes a combination of the two, which she and other speakers call Hmonglish.
My parents knew enough of what I was trying to say that in the spot, because they understood it, they didn't say, oh no, you're saying that wrong. They'll just answer you.
Moa says she's not sure she'll ever fully master the Hmong language, but she's motivated to keep practicing so she can one day pass it on to her children and maintain the connection to her native language.
WPR's Hope Kerwin brought us that story about an app for the Hmong language. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.